from Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
We noticed that since midnight on September the 28th, some people in Hong Kong have rallied illegally and carried out Occupy Central activities. The Chinese central government firmly opposes the various illegal activities in Hong Kong that have jeopardized rule of law and social stability and peace. We fully believe in and firmly support the Hong Kong government handling it according to law.
That was Hua Chunying, a spokesperson for the Foreign Ministry of China, expressing Beijing's support for local authorities' handling of the past few days' unrest in Hong Kong. We have more from the Chinese news agency CCTV.
Hua Chunying also reaffirmed that Hong Kong is one of China's special administrative regions and therefore its affairs were purely China's internal affairs. She stressed that the Chinese government has demanded that foreign countries should not get involved or interfere in China's internal affairs in any way and not send any wrong signal to the outside world.
Hong Kong was a British colony for more than a century and a half, from 1842 to 1997, when it was returned to China under the terms of the Sino-British Joint Declaration 15 years earlier. Leung Chun-ying, the chief executive of the Hong Kong Special Administrative Region, said that although he appreciates the students' concerns about civil affairs, their views must be aired peacefully, rationally, and in accordance with the law.
We try to listen to all sectors of the community, and you can see that in the past few months, both myself and members of the three-person group responsible for constitutional development in government have been using various means and forms to meet with different parts of the community. And I personally have done a few of those as well. And insofar as the students are concerned, I have had meetings with students from different parts of Hong Kong. As I said in my answer to the previous Chinese question, it is important that we engage all parts of the community, including young students, in a rational manner. And insofar as consultations on the question of constitutional development is concerned, it is also important to bear in mind that we have to operate within the framework of the stipulations of the Basic Law and the National People's Congress Standing Committee's decisions, because these are the legal and constitutional frameworks for Hong Kong's constitutional developments to go forward in.
The protests continued Tuesday. With a view from Japan, we have this report from the Japanese news agency NHK World.
More than 1,000 young protesters continued sit-ins outside the government office on Tuesday morning. Tens of thousands of people had gathered the previous day. Many spent the night. People are bringing in water, food, and medical supplies to support the demonstrators. Schools have been closed, and bus services have been canceled in some areas. Government officials say at least 57 people have been injured.
And NHK's Tia Yamayishi reports with some background information on the protests.
In August, Beijing decided to allow people in Hong Kong to directly elect their top leader, starting in 2017. But there will be conditions on who can run. Voters must choose from a list of pre-approved candidates. During a briefing in Hong Kong, pro-democracy activists scuffled with police. Some were arrested. They say the new system effectively shuts out pro-democracy candidates. Last week, a student group called for boycotting classes. Organizers said students at 24 colleges and vocational schools responded. They say 13,000 people took part in the rally at the Chinese University of Hong Kong. And since Friday, there's been a standoff between protesters and police. There were scuffles in front of the Hong Kong government office. More than 70 people were arrested. Britain handed over Hong Kong to China in 1997. Beijing granted the territory a high level of autonomy and guaranteed freedom of speech. But now, local officials are on high alert. They fear the protests could grow even bigger. Jay Yamagishi, NHK World.
Spain's Catalonia region will apparently not be permitted to hold a referendum on independence. We have this report from Press TV.
Spain's constitutional court has suspended Catalan independence vote. The move came after Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy formally asked the top court to declare the Catalonian planned referendum illegal. Now, Rajoy earlier said the referendum would not be compatible with the Spanish constitution. Catalonia's president, Artur Mas, signed a decree last week calling the vote on independence from Spain for November the 9th. Catalans have been calling for independence for a long time. Public discomfort and discontent with the Spanish government have been growing among the Catalans in recent years.
Afghanistan has a new president and a new chief executive. We have this report from Press TV.
Nearly 200 representatives of foreign countries were invited to attend the swearing-in ceremony held in the Afghan capital Kabul. Ashraf Ghani Ahmadzai and his electoral rival Abdullah Abdullah have agreed to lead a joint national unity government as the president and the chief executive.
Let's have a hopeful look to the future of our country. We undoubtedly have enough abilities to lead our country to peace and stability. From our natural resources to our human resources, all in all, help us to gain our goal.
Ex-President Hamid Karzai also attended the ceremony. He wished the new president and Abdullah Abdullah luck in performing their duties.
I will be committed to the new national unity government. Therefore, I will do my best to support this government. I urge our people to support it as well.
Abdullah Abdullah has been appointed as the chief executive of the new national unity government of Afghanistan. He and his two deputies also attended the ceremony.
This is a new chapter in Afghanistan's history. As a real national unity government, we promise to take honest steps towards creating peace and stability here.
The new national unity government is widely welcomed not only by politicians and governmental authorities, but by rural Afghans across the country. Local people hope to see a positive change in their lives under the leadership of President Karzai's successor. Amin Alimi, Press TV, Kabul.
On his first full day in office, the new president of Afghanistan cleared the way for U.S. troops to stay in the country, signing a security deal which leaves about 10,000 troops there to train and assist Afghan forces. Afghan's National Security Advisor Hanif Atmar and U.S. Ambassador James Cunningham signed the bilateral security agreement in a televised ceremony at the presidential palace a day after President Ghani was inaugurated. Tuesday was the closing day of this year's public debate phase of the UN General Assembly in New York. Among those who presented Tuesday was Samuel Santos Lopez, the foreign minister of the Republic of Nicaragua.
Muy buenos días.
Good morning, all of you. Madam President, we live in a world of multiple crises. These are overlapping and interrelated, where unjust and unequal development is prominent among peoples and nations. The existing unjust economic order resulting from imperialism and its current model of global capitalism has been unable to respond to these increasingly growing and frequent crises. The world's poor increase daily, both in the south and in the north. This is in flagrant violation of their most basic human rights. We must work together to overcome and eradicate as expeditiously as possible poverty, hunger, malnutrition, disease, wars and conflicts. Policies for regime changes and coup, violence against women and children, the arms race, the negative impacts of climate change, and emerging social and slavery scourges such as drug trafficking, organized crime, and human trafficking, among other issues. Social justice, solidarity, unity, complementarity between peoples, and brotherhood, respect between nations, all of these must prevail. Madam President, the eradication of poverty remains the greatest challenge facing the world. We will begin negotiations on the post-2015 agenda with the main concern of not having achieved, in all developing countries, the Millennium Development Goals. It is urgent to redouble our efforts and create an enabling international environment that facilitates the means of implementation and appropriate financing to developing countries. This post-2015 agenda is a new opportunity to strive for a just world order. It should promote sustained economic growth and inclusive, participatory social development, environmental protection and human dignity. And it should do this with sufficient flexibility to respond to the needs, priorities, and particularities of each country and region, bearing in mind the fact that there is no single model or recipe for development. This agenda should be an intergovernmental, open, and transparent process. It should be developed on the basis of the results achieved in the Working Group on Sustainable Development Goals and on the Rio Plus 20 processes. Madam President, developing countries are those who suffer the most from the adverse effects of climate change. Extreme weather phenomena are increasingly more frequent and intense. Despite our economic limitations and our priorities in eradicating poverty and ensuring sustainable development, and without obligations under the Convention, we are assuming the costs of our adaptation and mitigation. We must urgently achieve a binding agreement in 2015, one which contains strong, ambitious, and balanced commitments on all elements of the agreement under the Framework Convention of the United Nations. This should be in accordance with its principles and provisions, in particular, equity and common but differentiated responsibilities, in order to address the climate crisis and protect the ecosystems that sustain life on our Mother Earth. Madam President, no country in the international community can claim the right to use or threaten the use of force in international relations. These exceptionalist policies do not resolve conflicts. Instead, they are used to stir them up, as we have seen in recent years. Conflicts are resolved through dialogue and political negotiation, and the United Nations, based on its charter, must assume its responsibility. The UN must be the lead body to ensure world peace and reject warmongering policies, war, and confrontation. In the light of the challenges we face, it is increasingly imperative to reform the United Nations thoroughly, especially the Security Council, so that this can be in line with current realities, and to count on the voices and votes of developing countries in the categories of permanent and non-permanent members. Madam President, it is urgent to have a world free of nuclear weapons and a total and complete disarmament. We welcome September 26th as the International Day for the Total Elimination of Nuclear Weapons. This is an initiative of the Non-Aligned Movement, and was proposed by Cuba. Madam President, Cuba, our solidary sister nation, in response to the growing Ebola epidemic, has once again provided its human and scientific resources in order to work side by side with our African brothers in order to fight this deadly virus. Cuba, our sister nation, continues to resist the criminal, economic, and financial blockade imposed on it by the United States. Nicaragua reiterates its unconditional solidarity with Cuba. We demand the end of this blockade that is in violation of international law and human rights of the people of Cuba. We demand the immediate and unconditional release of the five anti-terrorist Cuban patriots. We denounce the role that the United States has assigned itself to include countries in its unilateral and arbitrary list of state sponsors of international terrorism. And we demand that Cuba be excluded from that list. We condemn these anachronistic policies of the United States, the worsening of the blockade, and its extraterritorial nature. The Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela and its Bolivarian Revolution remain under harassment, interference, and external aggression. We convey our unconditional solidarity with its government and people, headed by Compañero Nicolás Maduro, and its people in the defense of the revolutionary and liberating process. Madam President, we must put an immediate end to the illegal occupation by Israel of Palestinian land. We must not allow Israel to once again continue its aggression and brutal attacks on Palestinian men, women, and children. The Security Council should once and for all fulfill its obligations and demand that Israel put an end to these policies and practices in order to make way for the sovereign and independent state of Palestine based on its pre-1967 borders and with East Jerusalem as its capital, so that both states can coexist in peace, Palestine and Israel. Nicaragua reiterates its absolute and unconditional solidarity with the state of Palestine in its fight for freedom and inalienable rights. We reiterate our full solidarity with the government and people of Syria in their fight against international terrorism and in the defense of their sovereignty and territorial integrity. We emphasize the need for a negotiated political solution among Syrians and the end of foreign intervention. This includes the financing and supplying of weapons to terrorist groups. In dealing with all these conflicts, rather than opt for dialogue and negotiation to resolve them, NATO countries are taking unilateral decisions, measures, and actions outside of the United Nations framework. This is in violation of international law, including aerial bombardment in territories of sovereign countries. Madam President, on several occasions, Nicaragua has expressed its rejection and condemnation of actions aimed at regime change. This breaks the constitutional order. It leads to widespread violence. It incites the use of force and opens the door to coup d'etat. aimed to overthrow legitimate governments, ones elected by the people's will. We have witnessed this policy in Ukraine. This has led to the loss of life, displacement of populations, and has created a humanitarian crisis with unpredictable consequences. Because we want peace and believe in the prevention and resolution of conflicts by peaceful and inclusive means, we reject these policies, as well as the imposition of unilateral measures and economic sanctions that violate international law. Nicaragua recognizes the cooperation of China-Taiwan to developing countries, particularly in food and social inclusion programs. We reiterate our support for the legitimate aspirations of China-Taiwan for greater participation in the United Nations specialized agencies. This is in accordance with the requirements and needs of this population of 23 million. Madam President, we reiterate our full support for the legitimate rights of the Republic of Argentina in the dispute of sovereignty over the Malvinas Islands, South Sandwich Islands, and adjacent islands. The United Kingdom must comply immediately with United Nations resolutions and initiate direct negotiations with Argentina. Likewise, we support and consider ourselves part of Argentina's fight against vulture funds. Puerto Rico continues under the yoke of colonialism and requires, now more than ever, our solidarity and our active support in its struggle for independence and self-determination. The United States must free the longest-standing political prisoner, our Puerto Rican patriot Oscar López Rivera. We welcome and remain in solidarity with the struggle of the people of Western Sahara under the leadership of the Polisario Front. Madam President, Nicaragua is a small country. It bases its policies on Christian values, socialist principles, and practices of solidarity. In this complex global environment, it works proactively in various international and regional forums to promote policies of peace, unity, and understanding among nations, to find political and negotiated solutions to conflicts, and for the rights of our peoples to achieve sustainable development and well-being. Madam President, our Bolivarian Alliance for the Peoples of our America, ALBA, of which Nicaragua is a member, has enabled unity, complementarity, and economic integration in our region. This has promoted other forums such as Petrocaribe. This gathers 20 countries of our region and has resulted in immediate and specific benefits for the well-being of our peoples. This has guided an effort to overcome poverty, hunger, and inequality. On December 14th, we will be celebrating the 10th anniversary of its foundation, a result of the Unitarian vision of Latin America and the Caribbean Comandantes Hugo Chavez Frias and Fidel Castro Ruz. These steps in regional integration were fruitful and led to the creation of the Community of Latin American and Caribbean States, from which we deepen our political, economic, and cultural integration process, respecting our diversity and building our unity. We have declared our region as a zone of peace. Within SICA, the Central American Integration System, we strengthen our integration in all fields and work together to fight the scourge of drug trafficking and organized crime, and to turn the Gulf of Fonseca into a zone of peace and development. Our government of national unity and reconciliation, under the vision and leadership of our president, Comandante Daniel Ortega Saavedra, continues to work for the restitution of the political, economic, social, and cultural rights of all Nicaraguans. We have become the country that has the greatest public safety in the region. Our fight against drug trafficking, organized crime, and human trafficking has been recognized as the most forceful and effective in the region. Our economic growth has been consistently increasing, one of the highest in our region. We have reduced poverty and extreme poverty in compliance with the provisions of the Millennium Development Goals, empowering women in their political and economic participation, and ranking in top positions in the world for women ministers, parliamentarians, and mayors. We combat violence against women and children head-on, with firm laws and social programs for both. We have women's offices in all municipalities of the country, free and prioritized education and health care for all Nicaraguans, early childhood care programs, and maternal homes throughout the country. In our autonomous regions of the Caribbean, we have restituted the rights of indigenous peoples and Afro-descendants. In addition, this autonomy process is strengthening every day. We have completed the land titling process in the indigenous and Afro-descendant communities. All of these efforts of our people and government, our policies of inclusion and social justice, all of these have been recognized, appropriated, and supported by our own people and have been emphasized as best practices to follow by all agencies, projects, and programs of the United Nations system. Madam President, in conclusion, we note that the work of this session of the General Assembly and in the coming years will be crucial for developing countries and the rest of the world. Let us unite from this moment onward to achieve these urgent and necessary changes for a better world and so that our peoples may live well. I thank you.
Tuesday's broadcast also marks the close of our first year here in the CPR newsroom. We'd like to thank the radio stations across the country and media outlets around the world that carry our newscasts, and we especially thank you, our listeners, for your support. And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.